Praise God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to continue looking at the book of Colossians. You know, I love the book of Colossians because it tells us about how important Jesus is, the preeminence of Jesus Christ, how he's the head of the church, all right? And, you know, Ephesians talks about the body. We're the body of the church. Colossians talks about Jesus being the head of the church. And again, tonight, we'll see wherever God's going to bring us tonight, but I think last week I talked about Jesus being the firstborn, all right? And I don't remember how far I got with it, so we'll just real quick review that. But it says, in 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And we looked about the firstborn. The firstborn was always in Israel, was important to God. They were given to God, and they were given privileges. They were given three privileges. I'm going to go fast because you can hear it on tape, all right? But they were given three privileges: rulership, priesthood, and heirship, which included something called the double portion, which we looked about last week. And rulership of the family after the father died. The firstborn son was given rulership. He was to take care of the family. Then the second privilege that he had was the priesthood. Not that he was a priest, but he ran the family, okay? It's basically what that was. And then there was a double portion. And the double portion, he received twice as much as everybody else, okay? And he was to handle all the finances of the family and bless the next generation to come. Well, when we get to Jacob, Jacob had sons, and he had one son named Reuben, who was the firstborn. But Reuben was a rascal, okay? He did something he shouldn't have done, and he lost all, and it's on the last week's tape. He lost all his privileges, and they were divided amongst Judah, Levi, and then Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So rulership went to the tribe of Judah. And we all know that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? Amen. And the priesthood went to Levi, and all the Levites were priests. But we know Jesus is our high priest. Okay, good. You're quick learners. I like that. Okay. And then the double portion went to Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So what happens is then God's firstborn came, Jesus, right? And Jesus came into the earth. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, he received that birthright back. He was the firstborn from the dead. All right. And the Bible says that we are redeemed from the curse of the law, poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. And what Jesus did by being the firstborn from the dead, he received the rulership back. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He received the priesthood back. He is our great high priest. And just so you know, we are a royal priesthood, okay? And then he received the double portion. And he's really the firstborn of many. And Jesus really became the first fruits, our first fruits. And we share in all the blessings that belong to us in redemption. Okay? So he's a ruler. He made us kings and kings. He's the King of Kings. All right? But he had the double portion. And the double portion is simple. It is salvation. All right? And it's healing. So in the double portion, we have salvation, we're free from sin. Sin has been paid for. But then he's our healer, and healing belongs to us because that was part of the curse of the law. Salvation has to do with spiritual death. When we receive Jesus, we're saved from spiritual death. We were recreated on the inside. And then I believe we started looking at the humanity of Jesus, unite humanity with deity. And I don't know how far I got with that, but Jesus, according to our verse of scripture, it says he was the image of God, but it says he was the impressed image of God, kind of like a coin. And he's the exact mirror image of God the Father. Jesus, people say, I've never seen God. Well, Jesus came, he was God, all right? We'll go on a little. Jesus, he was the mirror image of God. He performed miracles, not because of his deity, because he was human operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 specifically tells us Jesus went about doing good, healing that were all oppressed of the devil, because he was with power, because he was anointed of the Holy Ghost. And that should be a lesson for us as believers, because we're anointed of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So as Jesus went about, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, as he is, so are we in the world. So we should be able to go around, anointed by the Holy Ghost, lay people on his hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark chapter 16 tells us that. Amen. So what's the problem? I don't know. But Jesus came into the world, and we could see God in a tangible way through Jesus Christ. Amen. So now we have something we call the hypostatic union. The hypostatic union is when deity and humanity come together. Jesus Christ has two natures, the human nature and the divine nature. All right? They were united. They were mixed together. All right? He was 100% human, yet he was 100% deity. But the interesting thing, as he walked on the earth, he walked in his humanity. But deity was still present with him. Okay? Because of the virgin birth. He was the second Adam. All right? He didn't lose it. He came into this earth pure and untainted. All right? We call it the incarnation. Incarnate. You know what that means? In person. Really, if you look it up in the Greek, it means in the flesh or in person. So really, what we had is we had deity come to us in person. Amen. Jesus. And so Jesus is God. He's not a form of God. Some Christians say that he's a form of God. He's not. He was co-eternal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's not a lower entity. He is right up there with God. Amen. The devil wasn't his brother. I've heard people preach that Jesus was the good son and the devil was the bad son. And see, the incarnation doesn't diminish the deity. It's undiminished. You can't. And Jesus, again, did not lower himself to become a man. He's not a sub-God, okay? And if you listen to some religions, I don't want to mention it, but you'll find out that Jesus is like a step below everybody else, below God. So so the incarnate person of Jesus includes his humanity, and his humanity consisted of a spirit, a soul, and a body, minus the sin nature, minus the old nature. That's where the virgin birth comes in. Jesus was born of a virgin, and he avoided that fallen nature of Adam. Every human being that's born is born with that human nature, that sin nature, that's on, the nature of the flesh that's on the inside of us. Jesus is different from God in that he's a man, but he's God. And you know what? Your head can't wrap around that. So take it by faith, okay? But it's the truth. He's 100% God, 100% man. He's the unique person of the universe. Jesus is. And that's his deed. And Jesus is the only way to salvation, because of, the Bible tells us in the Gospels that the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the Son. So he's the only means for salvation, because Jesus satisfied both claims of God, and he satisfied the claims of God and the claims of man. God needed someone to pay the price for what Adam did, and he needed to redeem us so we could come back together with him. And that's what Jesus did. Job understood that. Believe that in the book of Job understood that. In Job chapter 9, he says, like this. He's talking, for he is not a man as I, talking about God, for he is not a man as I, that I may answer him, or that I should go to court, that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator, or the King James Version says, daysman, between us, who may lay hands on us both. So somebody had to come to reach out to God, and somebody had to come and reach out to man. How many have ever been in the Sistine Chapel? And the picture up on the ceiling. God reaching out to man, or Jesus reaching out to man and himself. So there had to be somebody to go in between, because we were not eligible to pay the price of sin. We just can't do it because we are sin. All right? We are spiritually dead. It had to take a spiritually alive person to live a perfect life to pay the price. To say, okay, here I am. I'm going to touch man. I'm going to touch God. And we're going to bring, it's called reconciliation. Amen. You know what reconciliation is? Bring into balance. Amen. Okay. So he came as the God-man. All right. Jesus could be all-powerful. He could be weak. These are things he could do. He could be all-knowledgeable and all-ignorant. He had that capacity to do that. Yet he was hungry. He slept. He got tired. In his humanity, he studied the Word of God. All right? Fellowship with the Father through the Holy Spirit. But it was necessary for him to become human to pay for our salvation. So important. He's our Savior. As God, you know, God can't, how many of you know you can't kill God? So as God, Jesus couldn't die because he was eternal. All right? He was everywhere. He was all powerful. He had to become a man. And he had to die spiritually. Not only die spiritually, but die physically. Two things that happened so he could raise from the dead. You see, God, what happens is people think God died on the cross. When you talk about Jesus dying spiritually, they go, heresy. God can't die. No kidding. We get to give him a star. We know God can't die. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this one out. But in order for him to pay the price, he had to be a man. So the man part of him had to die. His body and his human spirit. It specifically says that he became sin for us on the cross. Well, his spirit, all his sin got poured into his spirit, and he became just like us. For the first time in his life, he was separated from his Father. Psalm chapter 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was the first day when Jesus hung on. Think about it. When that little baby whose birthday we're celebrating here in a few weeks, when he hung on that cross for the first time in his entire existence, he was separated from the Trinity, from his heavenly Father. That's why he said, my God, why had you forsaken me? But he became the mediator for us. He had to do that in his humanity on the cross. God couldn't do it as God. It wouldn't be fair. I mean, God can do anything, okay? But, you know, God just couldn't say, okay, devil, I'm going to wipe you out, because the devil went in there, tricked Adam and Eve. They bought into the lie. So now someone had to come and pay that price. God could have just said, all right, forget about it, that you cheated, devil. Okay? But he didn't. Adam lost it, and the second Adam had to get it back. Thank you. You're so excited about that. But it's okay. So he's the mediator. And what a mediator? Mediator is someone who puts two parties together. You know, you have mediation. People have gone through mediation. And so that's important. Now he's also our high priest. He represents man before God. It's also, he's the son of David, Psalm 89. And so a man had to be, a man was necessary to fulfill God's covenant with David. And the incarnation was that fulfillment of Jesus coming. So now we're going to start in verse 16. Just wanted to catch you up. Okay? Verse 16. And we could probably camp out here. My mother says, be brief when you teach. My mother, my wife. You know what I was probably thinking of my mother. You're probably saying, son, you talk too much. Anyway, my wife says, be brief. How could you be brief? Listen to the next verse. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Let's just read down here to verse 18. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Wow, what a mouthful. Those three verses of scripture. We'll get done in 2 minutes with those. All right? But here's what this verse tells us of creation. Creation is both spiritual and natural. There's spiritual kingdoms. There's natural kingdoms. Okay? And they were into existence by the spoken word. You know, Jesus was the word. He spoke everything into existence. God spoke everything into existence. And it lists all created things. All created things are the visible things that we see on the earth. But then there's invisible things. Heaven. All right? Then the first two visible things are thrones and dominions. They're visible. Well, what are thrones and dominions? We'll look at that in a minute. And then there's principalities and powers. They're the invisible. You know, if you ever read the book of Daniel, you could see the typology of the principalities and the powers and the kingdoms and dominions that are on the earth. All right? And there's a war going on for control. You know, the stuff you see happening around today, whether it's in Washington, D.C., or it's in California. No, I'm just talking about whether it's terrorists or whatever. That is a spiritual war going on in the invisible realm that we don't see. We in the natural realm are trying to solve that problem. And we're failing miserably. But there is a way to solve that in the spirit realm. And that's through prayer. Okay, now, so we have the visible thrones. This is the governmental system that we see in operation every day in the national, state, local government, world governments, whatever. And then the dominions, these are the actual people who occupy those thrones. The president, the governors, the senators, all these guys, and mayors. And then you have the invisible. Okay. See? The demons are starting. Anyway. But they won't win. That's right. But then you have principalities. They're the demon rulers controlling the world. Systems. Listen, if people don't believe that our system is controlled, all those in power they don't believe that they're controlled by other forces, then you wake up and smell the coffee. They don't know it. It isn't like they have a meeting with the devil every night. But they because they're not serving God, the Satan and his demon rulers, his principalities, control everything. It's that simple. No need to get nervous about it. We win. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 6 talk about that. Then you have powers. This is the it's a satanic system, including Satan himself. I mean, you know what cracks me up? Sometimes I think the church is so disorganized. Do you know that principalities and powers are so organized to come against us? It's almost crazy. But there is this thing going back. It's a dual deal. There was a book by Frank Peretti, This Present Darkness. This book's got to be 35 years old. Great book. It was fictional. It wasn't a real book. I always wish they would have made a movie out of this, because it was about how the principalities and powers in the heavenlies, the rulers of darkness, were controlling what was going on earth. And then Christians would get involved, and those principalities and powers would go nuts, because they would literally change the situation through their prayers. And he just took something out of the Bible, fictionalized it, and it would have been a great movie, but I didn't see any Hollywood people run after that one. Anyway, so, and it goes, all things were created by him or through him and for him, for his use. So Jesus created everything and for himself. You were created for Jesus. Anyway, and there's parallel verses to this verses 16 and 17 in Hebrews chapter 1 and 4. And this tells us that in his deity, the Lord Jesus Christ created all things. Not some things, all things. All right? Then after his death and resurrection and ascension, he was appointed heir to everything that he created. He created the sun. He created the moon. He created the ozone layer. He created everything. He created the chair you're sitting in. He did. And so he became heir of angel, everything. And you know what the Bible says? We're joint heirs with them. You know the angels are here for you? People are always looking for an angel to appear with them. Why is this thing crackling all of a sudden? I don't know. Anyway, angels are here. They're the ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. That's us. And they hearken to the word of God. And if you're speaking anything but the word of God, they're not doing anything. They're just standing around doing nothing. But Satan's principalities and powers, when they hear you speak negative things, when they hear you curse people and do whatever you do, don't worry, they're ready to fly and do their bidding. We're going to do a little change out here. I'll be on there. I'm out. Takes a minute. Takes a little while for the signal to get back there. All right. Anyway, so. But anyway, we're joint heirs with him through the new birth. So we have an inheritance because we're in him. All right. And so what we need to understand here is this. How many have heard about predestination? Boy, that thing's got kicked from pillar to post. You know that? And it's really such a simple little thing. And they've made doctrines, churches made doctrines over predestination. Well, there's a thing called election, you know. And election is the expression of the sovereignty of God before the human race, okay? The universe or anything else that ever existed except God. That's what election is. Something that never even took place yet, but God was in collusion with himself. Okay, he wasn't in collusion with Russia. He was in collusion with himself. But it's the expression of God's will for mankind. You know, we do the Bible study upstairs with Lifeline, and one of the first things my wife talks to them and talks about the creation and why God created Earth. I mean, you know, if you analyze, you know, you hear all this science stuff going on out there, but let me explain something to you. Earth was created for one reason and one reason only, you and me. Only planet to this day that they know of that could sustain life the way we know it. Of all the planets that are out there, they think there might be some. They think. They don't know. We know we're here. We live, we breathe. We know we're here. We don't know. Maybe. There could be. We're looking through the Hubble telescope. There might be, but we're not sure. They're higher. They're more of a higher intelligence than we are. Well, if they are, why didn't they contact us? Just saying, you know. And this is from a guy who used to believe God drove a flying saucer. So you just got to understand that, okay? Every planet is placed where it's placed today so it sustains life on Earth. You take Earth out of the solar system goes on. Move one of the planets out of the way and watch what happens to Earth. Hello? Are you listening to me? Amen. So, yeah, he created everything for us. And that's election. That's predestined. God predestined something for us to enjoy. Now, if we're not enjoying it, well, that's not God's fault. Okay? And so it's a provision. It's grace. Predestination is the provision of the sovereignty of God for mankind in eternity, past to execute God's plan and purpose for today. That's predestination. Give it to you this way. If Saturday we're having this vet clinic. Anyway. We have a whole thing. We already have everything we're going to teach you. We have a couple ladies going to make some food, I hope. They don't back down on me. Anyway, but we have a whole thing planned. Now, we know what we're going to say. We know some of the materials we're going to give you, some of the things we're going to share with you. We have it all. I got it all mapped out. I've predestined Saturday for you. If you don't show up, your fault. If you show up and sit here and don't partake of what we're saying, shame on you. But I predestined something for you that day. And if you don't hook into it, it isn't my will that you don't. You understand what I'm saying? We got the picture. I just, you know. So that's predestination. Now, predestination in eternity past, Jesus was predestined to die. Okay? We have a destiny in Christ. Predestined. God, once you get saved, okay? Once you get saved, once you receive Jesus as your Savior, God has a package for you. Whether you partake of that package is not up to God, it's up to you. And the first step to getting what's in the package is receiving Jesus. He predestined that in eternity past. Do you follow me? It's not that some people are predestined to go to heaven and some people are predestined to go to hell. Let me tell you something. That's hogwash. And if anybody's watching me, it's hogwash. God wished that none would perish. None. So how could somebody turn around and say, well, so-and-so's will that God didn't want them to get saved. That's why they lived the life they lived. No, it isn't. God has a package. They got to accept the package. But then once you accept the package, you got to open it. You could get the package and let it sit in the closet the rest of your life and never partake of it. Doesn't mean God didn't want you to have it, does it? I had a package come today, yesterday. It was one of them desks that go up and down. Put it in my car, brought it over here. Brought it up the stairs. I could have let it sit in the office till I die. But it was predestined for me to put that on my desk and raise it up and down. And that's what we're talking about. We have a destiny. We need to open the package and see what belongs to us. And it's all in here. Don't try to stop and figure it out. Oh, you know. No, open the package. See what God has for you. He's got a lot of blessings for you. He's got 2,000 promises. Start walking in some of them, you know. And so the unbeliever is not destined to go to hell. He's not predestined to go to hell. I'm sorry. You know? You know what the Greek word for predestination is? The literal translation of predestination. Predesigned. God predesigned something for us. He didn't pick and choose who's going to walk in that predesign. It's for everybody. It's for whosoever will. All right? And here's some of the things that were included in the predesign of God. Number one, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That was in the predesign. Before Adam and Eve ever sinned, in eternity past, when there was no planets, no nothing, just God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Okay? And here's something else. Victory for the believer was in that pre-designed package. Provision for the believer. Grace for accessing the promises and the provision that are there. This was all part of predestination for you and me. Your life. The life and work of Jesus for the 33 years that he was on the earth was pre-designed. Our life is pre-designed, but if we don't walk in it, God had a pre-designed life for Adam. Adam blew it. In the same way Adam blew it is the same way Jesus could have blew it. Because Adam was created with no sin in his life. The same way Jesus came into the earth. Hello? You know, we call him Jesus. Bible calls him the second Adam. He's the Son of God. Adam was the Son of God. Okay? And then it goes on and it goes on. That's predestination. Don't let people mess you up with predestination. Okay? Just don't let them do it. Now, verse 17. We'll see if we can get into a little bit. If not, we'll just come back to this next week. But it says, and he is, or he exists before all things. And by all things, by him all things consist. Now let's just look at that. He is before all things. And by him all things consist. I got to come down here for this one. Because there's no way I'm going to finish doing this little puppy here. Where you going? Man, I could have stayed there, Louie. You know, there was a time when things began. But then there was a time when there was nothing. But then there was a point in time when God began something. Okay? And salvation was a fact before anything was here. That was a fact. All right? Science can't tell us why things hold together. Scientists can't tell you why that seat stays together. Because it's made out of molecules that are constantly moving. By rights, you should sit in that chair and it should fall. But somehow it stays together, and scientists Can't even tell you why. I can. Because Jesus holds it together. You say, he's crazy. All right, say what you want. All right? Jesus is the sustainer of the universe, okay? In other words, he's always held the universe together and everything in the universe, all right? He created everything in the universe. If you believe the word of God, I mean, you have to understand it, right? In his deity, he was holding all things together, even as a baby in a manger. Wow. Scientific law. Don't even exist. Because if it existed, it puts to naught that Jesus holds all things together. You know, a verse in Romans chapter 1 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became idiots. It's a literal translation, too. Morons, actually, would be a better translation. Professing themselves to be wise, they became morons. That's what the Greek word is. It's a transliterated word. Moron. That's it. Can't. But there, to have a law, it has to be enforced. Am I right? So science can't enforce the law because it's a divine law. They can't enforce the law of the universe. They can't figure out how to stop the ozone layer from getting big and getting small, the hole in the ozone. They can't figure that out. Because it's a divine design. And only the person who designed it could work it. Amen. Science can't even guarantee a law. You mean why? Because we observe laws. We know the law of gravity works. But who put it here? God did. All we do, science can't change it. They could observe it, walk to the edge of a cliff and step off. You understand? So don't put all your faith in science either. All right? And laws change. Do you ever notice that? Science assumes that once there's a law, it'll always be so. But laws change. Read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10. Laws change. You know, in the book of Corinthians chapter 15, we are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. How's that going to happen? Because, I mean, how's it going to happen? How could this be changed in the twinkling of an eye and we're going to disappear and be caught up to heaven? How's that? See, science can't even go there because they can't figure out how that could happen. But then on the other hand, all things were created by him and for his pleasure, and everything is in his control. So if he decides that one day, one bright morning, when this life is over, we'll fly away. No, I couldn't sing, did you? Problem is this. We'll end with this one. And I'll come back and review this a little bit more in depth. Science has to line up with the Word of God. What we try to do is have the Word of God line up with science. And it doesn't work. It never has worked. Science has to line up with the Word or forever stand in error. Amen. Because it changes. And I know people laugh at me and say things and because, you know, I jump on all this do-good stuff with, and a lot of it I do tongue-in-cheek, okay? About saving the planet and doing all this, you know, all this mumbo jumbo that the liberals are doing. You know, but I say, listen, We should be good stewards of God, what God has given us. Amen. He commands us to be good stewards of our home, our finances, everything, our bodies, everything. We should be good stewards of the earth he's given us. But let me tell you something. He's the one who holds it together. You understand that?
Amen. Yes.
I'm not saying let's wreck it. I'm not saying that, but trust me. I have this much faith in global warming or global freezing. Because if God wants to change that law, he will. He's done it before. He's caused the flood. You need to go back and study some stuff about, you know, people want to know what happened to the dinosaur. I read an interesting book on what happened to the dinosaurs. What caused it? What caused the ice? There was definitely an ice age. But what caused it? God. For whatever reason, we don't know. So, yeah. I got a problem with global warming, and it wasn't so warming today. I was freezing. Picking up my grandkids from school this morning. Turned out a bit. The thing about it is I want us to understand one thing tonight. The preeminence of Jesus Christ in everything that we do. Amen. That is key. That is salvation. Amen.